I was just sitting there thinking, if we need to, air conditioning can wait a Sunday. Good Samaritan, amen? You do as the Lord leads, and you let the Lord speak to your heart, and you be blessed by that, okay? All right. I'm going to try to finish up. Anybody hot? You're hot. Good, good, good. They tell me there's a place that's a little hotter than here, okay? Just want to tell you how you can miss it. His name is Jesus, amen? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him as your Lord and your Savior, all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe You died on that cross for me. I believe that You bled and shed Your precious blood just for me. And I believe if I were the only person living, You would have still died for me. Because I believe You so loved the world, Father, that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You do not have that everlasting life. Do not leave this place today without bowing your heart and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and to be your Savior. Now, I did just set my watch, but my watch has been losing time. It needs a battery, and so Alvin may be right. It could be 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, I don't have to go to therapy next week. How about that, y'all? I'm so far ahead. Looks like 6 months may turn into 3 months. So today, a month from now, is my birthday, and my prayer is, please, Lord Jesus, let me get rid of it. So I'm praying and I'm hoping. Okay, let's go ahead to the first slide, Bridget. Several of you asked for that information. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I didn't get a chance to do it this week. I will make some copies, and I'll have them laid out there on the table for you next Sunday to pick up for this information. While we're looking at that slide, take your Bibles and turn back with me to Genesis chapter 16 for just a minute. Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to look at one verse there, and then we're going to come over to chapter 21. Hold your finger there. Boy, this is hard to do. Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12. Now, just to give you a little background and data, Abraham was 75 years old when God gave him the promise of Isaac. He was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. Sarah would have been 76 years old. Sarah, 10 years younger than Abraham. Sarah was 90. Abraham was 100 when Isaac was born. There was a 25-year quarter century between the time that the promise was made in Genesis chapter 12 and then again in Genesis chapter 15 as far as the land was concerned. And then that promise that in Isaac... remember, God promised Abraham that his seed would be as the stars, if he could count the stars. He promised him that his seed would be as the sand of the seashore. So in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 12, just going to take just a few minutes to review just a little bit. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now turn to chapter 21, and chapter 21 is the birth of Isaac. Remember now, that's 25 years later from chapter 12 when the promise was made. So in chapter 21, Isaac is born. And in verse 9, so if you're doing your math now while I'm talking to you, how old is Ishmael? He's 14 years old. Remember, Abraham was 86. He's 14 years old, and here comes a little brother, Isaac, a little baby Isaac. And Sarah, in verse 8, says, and the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day, and Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. Now, look up here just a minute. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. If you want to know how wrong sin is, one night stand between Abraham and Hagar is the reason why we are facing what we are facing today in our world with terrorists. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to your pastor, please. The consequences of a one-night stand, and that's about as plain as I can make it. And you and I today, our children and our grandchildren, are facing something that the world has never, ever faced before. Think seriously before you decide to step out of the confines of a sacred union where God has made a promise to bless that union, and I'm talking about the institution of marriage. And I'm talking about the violation of that institution. Anytime the Bible talks about Egypt, it is always a picture of sin. When you get out of the will of God, the first place you go is down into Egypt. Egypt is a picture of today's world. Egypt had nothing to offer God's people. It was never God's intention for Sarah to pick up Hagar. If they would have stayed out of Egypt. So any time that you walk away from the infallible Word of God, which is truth without any mixture of error for your life, and you decide to violate its principles and its statutes, you can expect to pay the consequences for generations to come. Notice what happened. It says, whom she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. You see, the very first thing that Satan did in the Garden of Eden was mock God. When you question the infallible, inerrant, truth without mixture Word of God, you are mocking God. Do you understand what I'm saying? This way means yes, Brother Johnny, or Pastor Johnny, whatever you want to call me. Call me to eat, and I'll go eat with you. But listen to me. Whenever you take God's word and you mock it, you fail to believe it, you fail to stand on it, you fail to live by it, you are mocking God, the God of this universe. So we are facing today in the world. Now turn to Zechariah chapter 9. But God, in His great mercy, wherewith He loved us. Amen? Thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for His grace, unending grace. His grace that reaches down where you and I are. His grace that reached down to Abraham and to Sarah. His grace, His mercy. Mercy, you remember, is not receiving what we do deserve. Grace is receiving what we do not deserve. And so God, in His great mercy that He has extended to us, church, God, in His mercy, provided a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. And apart from Jesus Christ, you will spend eternity separated from the God that loves you, because you have been created in His image and His likeness, and He breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, and you became a living soul, holy by God, through the blood and the cross of Jesus Christ, when you bow your heart and bow your life and you trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. So let's look at Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9 for just a minute. I love this verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Palm Sunday, He rode into Jerusalem, riding upon that colt, the foal of the ass. Now turn to chapter 14, Zechariah chapter 14, for just a minute. And let's look at verses 2 and following. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all peoples round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Verse 3, and in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all peoples. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all nations. If you want to, write there in your Bible. It's not a sin to do so. If you don't like to write in your Bible, write it in your heart. The United States of America. All nations one day that exist, if the United States is existing at that time, beloved, I want you to understand that all nations are going to turn their back upon God's people. And the reason that that is going to happen, the reason that God's going to permit that to happen, is so that God's people, the Jewish people, will recognize and understand that they can no longer depend upon the arm of the flesh for their deliverance. They must depend upon the arm of a holy and a righteous and an almighty and an all-powerful God to deliver them. And my friend, that's the only person can deliver you and I today. In whatever we find ourselves in today in this world, whatever we are facing in this world today, the only person that can deliver us is God. Now, turn with me to Luke's gospel. And I'll get to preaching here in just a minute. Chapter 19, verses 41 through 44. Like to hear the turning of the leaves, the rustling of the leaves. I used to tell my former church, if you don't bring your Bible, I'll preach out of the funny paper till you bring your Bible. It's amazing sermon illustrations you can find in the funny paper. Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. God help us. Look up here a minute. God help us that we be wiser in the understanding of the times than the people were in the day when Jesus came riding the colt, the foal of the ass on Palm Sunday. God help us. And Jesus is saying here, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round about and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That took place in AD 70, by the way. I mentioned that last Sunday. I'm just reviewing a little bit. When Titus, the Roman Empire, marched into Jerusalem, he dug the trench around it, and they literally starved the people to death in the city of Jerusalem. They finally set the city on the fire. They burned it to the ground. The temple was destroyed, and the gold melted and run down between the stones. They took pry bars. They pried every stone apart to receive the gold. Now study the book of Daniel, and the book of Daniel will tell you that Daniel was wise enough. He was taken to Babylon when he was around 19 years of age. Remember, he and the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you remember, Daniel was promoted in Babylon because of his wisdom. And if you remember, they were in Babylon for 70 years. They were there because they had violated the seventh year Sabbath, the Smita. They had violated the seventh year Sabbath for 70 times. And God said, every year that you violate it, you're going to spend captive in Babylon. But Daniel had studied the times, and Daniel understood the times. Read the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 8, 9 particularly. And Daniel prophesied to the date that the children of Israel would come out of Babylon. And on that date they came out, and he gave the length of times. And last Sunday morning, I shared those times with you. Now, let's move kind of quick. If you'll notice, 1973, you add the 28, you come up with the year 2000, 2001 plus 14 equals 2015. Our Supreme Court makes the major decision this year regarding the institution of marriage. Remember, when you mock the Word of God, this is not popular preaching, and I understand that, but one day I'm going to stand in the presence of God, and I'm going to give an account for every person's blood from my hands. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? And I am under the authority of God to say what I say, that one day I will be held accountable for that. I want you to understand that, please. Therefore, I do not want any person's blood dripping from my hands, because I have failed to warn, because I have failed to tell the truth, because I have failed to speak the truth. Pray for our Supreme Court. If there was ever a day and a time, I gave you the 100-year history beginning in 1917 last Sunday through 2017, and I showed you the periods of time. Next slide, please. And I showed you the period of time that lead up now to what we are facing in our world. Just as God has worked with the Jewish people, He has worked with the United States of America. Because in 1917, with the Balfour Declaration, they were given the land. In 1948, they were given a nation. And in 1967, 50 years jubilee from 1917, they regained the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount Church. We are living in exciting days. We are living in the days preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ that is so close, church. Jesus said, I just read to you out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, if you would have known and understood the time of my visitation, God's visitation to you, if you would have calculated the time, you would have known the season that you were living in, and you would have recognized me as your Redeemer. But you remember they didn't. And so the Jewish people were cut off. 483 years stopped, and there are 7 years left, and there's a gap of about 2,000 years where God begins to deal and turn the gospel, read the book of Acts, to the Gentiles. And you're one of two people in here this morning, or a combination of both. And God turned the gospel to the Gentiles. This is your and my opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Christ died on the cross. I tell people I've got my personal cross. A constant reminder, He died there for me. He bled there for me. He shed His blood for me. He paid the price for my sins. He was my substitute. He took my place. He was my sacrifice. He paid the complete price, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that leads me to the sermon for this morning. You remember last Sunday we stopped, where God had confirmed His covenant with Abraham. We talked about that. We talked about the Quran. We talked about the Quran as being viewed by the Islamic people as God's final word, Allah's final word to the world. Now, I don't know about you, but I convicted myself last Sunday while I was preaching. I convicted myself so bad until Jenny, I instruct you, bless your heart, it's the pastor, I'm the leader, I'm the spiritual leader, I'm the one that should be hearing from God, I'm the one that God's placed here at this time for such a time as this. So I want us to begin to concentrate on praying for Muslim people. I want us to put it in our prayer sheet. God so convicted me last Sunday about that, I said, here I preached a message, and we don't even have it in our prayer list. We talk about it, but I don't misunderstand what I'm about to say here. Listen to me. Yes, sickness and disease, and yes, those things are important, but listen to me. What is more important, listen to me, is a person's eternal soul. Jesus said it's better that you go into life mean than to go into damnation whole. Do you hear me this morning? Do you understand that we have been commissioned, we have been called, and we have been challenged, and we have been entrusted with the stewardship of the gospel to a people that was born into a world that was raised as they were raised, and who, for whatever reason, has not experienced the grace and the mercy of God? They are looking for their caliphate. They are wanting to establish their kingdom. Satan has always wanted to do that from the time of the Garden of Eden. From the time that he sinned in Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. From the time he's always wanted to establish his caliphate. And he will use anyone or anybody to join his caliphate. That's why recruiting is taking place even in South Carolina today. I heard it on the news this week. We're not immune to it any longer. It's not something that's going to disappear in thin air. It's not something that's going to go away. Church, we are the mighty army of God. If we are blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again, children of God, we are the mighty army of God. We have the Word of God. We have the authority of God, and we have the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start praying one by one. This is not a battle that you'll win with weapons that man made. This is a battle that will be won on the knees of God's people when they cry out for His mercy and for His grace. Islam agenda is to kill the little Satan, which is the Jew, and then in turn kill the big Satan, which is America. Islam must triumph over all opposition according to the Quran. They must be victorious. Moses had predicted and prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 58. God has promised to us all the blessings in Abraham because we have been engrafted in to the loins of Abraham through the blood and the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to out, church. Do you understand the victory that we have this morning? Do you understand the authority that we have in the Word of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? To speak to principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and to call those things down according to the Word of God. Why? The Jewish people were chosen out of Abraham. Christ is a descendant of Abraham, and the church was chosen out of the world for the Lord Jesus Christ from every nation and from every tongue and from every language and from every people. And you and I are privileged today who are blood washed and blood bought to be called and chosen. Hallelujah. That ought to make a backslidden Baptist shout. Something's wrong with you if you can't shout. Something's missing in your life if you can't shout. To know that He has a purpose for you, to know He has a plan for you, and to know that God's Word will never fail, and to know, church, that no matter what comes in our life, next Sunday, you won't get to hear it. Next Sunday, I'm preaching on encouragement. I woke up this morning, I was hurting all over. Roma said, come on now. You know, when you get like an old automobile, things begin to fade. The paint begins to fade, and you know, the joints don't work like they used to, and you can't grab a grease gun and go pump grease in it. And me and this weather hadn't cooperated the best. Anybody out there like me? God's plan of redemption is through the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. There's only one Messiah. They're looking for their Mahdi. They're looking for their Messiah to come and establish their caliphate. And they believe when they get their caliphate established that the Mahdi will suddenly appear. How deceived. How deceived. You ought to be on your knees thanking God this morning that you're not deceived. Thanking God that He's given you the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of His Word and the Spirit of enlightenment and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to live in you, to infill you and to enlighten you and to guide you and to direct you and to empower you and to equip you and to edify you and to encourage you and to exhort you to good works. Amen. Amen. And amen. The Jewish people in the Lamb's Book of Life, Christians, known great persecution and death down through the century. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but have no fear. I have what? I didn't hear you. I just still didn't hear you. Shout it. Overcome the world! We do not live in a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Maybe I'm the only one that has it sometimes, I wonder. I'm serious when I say that. our Sunday school lesson this morning. I hated I had to walk out on Dr. Ken. He was doing such a great job. Not that Tommy does it. Tommy always blesses us every Sunday. But I'll tell you, when you think about how God so loved the world, and God's great love manifested in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, anti-Semitism and Christianity worldwide is an opposition to Allah. Allah requires all opposition to be subdued at all cost. War is unending because Satan is unending and he opposes Jehovah God and his people, the Jew, and Jesus Christ and his church, the bride. Have no fear. I have overcome the world. That's the promise that he made to us. When he said on that cross, "It is finished," and "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit," I want you to understand something this morning. They didn't crucify him. He didn't die from crucifixion. Do you hear me? He died because he chose to die for you and me. I preach about it, but I'll tell you, be honest with you this morning, I have never fully understood that. I don't think any preacher has fully understood that. And Lanier, I can't speak for you and the rest of, and Dr. Ken, the other pastors that are present. I believe it with all my heart. You see, Islam must prove the Bible is a fabrication of the Jews and the Christians' God, and that's what they have set out to do. Now, if you were born that way and you were living in that darkness, what else would you believe? Let me ask you that question. That's the question that I asked last Sunday. The Bible's predictions about the Jewish threats to Allah and Islam are true. You see, we are a threat. In reality, it is Baalism all over again. You remember Baalism? Baalism started in the Garden of Eden. You can be your own God. You can choose whatever God you want to, and you can choose to worship and serve that God however you want to. Isn't it amazing that the creature would tell the Creator how he's going to live? It's like the clay telling the potter, "Hey, I made myself. I existed on my own. I have all my own rights and privileges. My clay belongs to me." Does that sound familiar today? My body is my own. I'll do with it as I please. You see, Baalism creeps into every form of faith if we're not careful. Even in the Christian faith and the Christian community, you'd be surprised at some of the things that I listen that comes out of Christians, supposedly Christians' mouths, who supposedly know the Lord Jesus Christ and who supposedly know the Word of God and is in direct contradiction with the Bible. But they picked it up along the way because it's been passed down from generation to generation, and heritage has passed it down. And they begin to believe that it's true. You see, it's easy to believe a lie. In fact, many will believe the lie. In fact, the Bible says in the last days that so many will believe the lie that God will give them strong delusion so that they can believe nothing else but the lie. How sad! How sad that the Holy Spirit would have to lead the Apostle Paul to write those words as a warning of how deception is. But the God of my Bible loves everybody. According to John 3:16 and 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish. Amen? And that includes the Muslim. That includes all of the people that he's created in his image and his likeness and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and they became a living soul. That includes every individual. If we really believe John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," let's stop there and put the word Muslims. It's hard to talk about, isn't it? But God doesn't want you to live in fear. And this message is not about living in fear. This message is about overcoming fear. This message is about how to live above. You see, we are seated in heavenly places according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. We are not, I hear people sometimes say, "Well, I can't wait till I get to heaven." Hello, I'm already enjoying it now. I'm already seated in heavenly places according to the Word of God. I can already enjoy the promises that God has made to me that are yea and yea and nay. I can already know that God has a special plan and a special purpose for my life.
I'm not waiting for pie in the sky. I'm already experiencing His blessings now.
Sometimes we preachers use this verse of Scripture, we use it only about heaven, but we fail to understand that we're already experiencing heaven. I started experiencing heaven when I was born again. How about you? I became a new child of God. My citizenship is somewhere else. I'm just a stranger. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. How about you all? I've got a title. When I'm 96 years old, I have my house paid for. Hallelujah. I'm not worried about it. Roma reminded me, she said, I paid the house payment. Every once in a while, I'll ask, I said, did you pay the house payment? You know, it's just, the Son of Man didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a place to call home. He didn't have a rock for a pillow. And I'm complaining? Uh-oh. Were your toes back up under the pew when I said that? You see, the God of the Bible's character, the God in the Bible, He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and He has a way apart from death. And that way is the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Do you know Him this morning? I'm not talking about do you know about Him. You can come all the way up through Sunday school and preschool and youth, and you can know all about Him and never know Him. You can be a grown man, 20 years of age, born and raised in church, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, even dumped, and not know Him. Until one day you have a personal encounter with Him unlike anything else. October the 15th, 1963. My grandbaby is maybe born October the 15th, 1963. That'd be wonderful. That was my spiritual birthday. By the way, y'all know I'm going to be a granddaddy. Not once, but twice. Amen. And one of each. I don't know what Miss Roma's going to do with her little girl, but I know what I'm going to do with my little boy. I'm going to spoil that rascal. Then I'm going to give him back to his mom and daddy. God has engraved upon every human heart His moral law. And in these last days that we are living in, according to Romans chapter 1, if you so choose to violate His moral law and continue to live according to the lust of this world and the appetites of this world, He will give you up. Not once, but three times He'll give you up. To a reprobate mind. So that you can only do that which you enjoy doing and want to do. And try to find satisfaction in a broken and in a failed life. A life that will bring nothing but pain and heartache and destruction. And finally, eternal separation from a sovereign and a holy God who loves you with all of His heart. And has done everything possible that you might spend eternity with Him. That's right. We don't know, but Tim has made the prediction. Miss Toby made the prediction 2 years ago. Oh well. God has possession. Listen to me. God owns it all. He owns the Muslim people. Did you know that? And He owns you. And you have been bought with a price. Every person has been bought with a price. The price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been bought. You've been bought off of the slave market of sin. You've been bought from the penalty of sin. You have been bought from the power of sin and also bought from the presence of sin. And one day His promise is to return us and reclaim those that He has bought. Please do not trample the blood of His Son under your feet. He has loved you. He has chosen you even before the foundation of the world in Jesus Christ.
Even before you were a twinkle in mother and father's eye, He chose you in Jesus Christ.
Think about that this morning. That eternal and sovereign God, He possesses it all. He has given over judgment to those nations, to all that refuse Him. That judgment will come upon those nations. The earth and all people are the Lord's, according to Psalms 24 and verse 1. Man, led by the God of the Bible, man, though sinful in heart, though sinful in his desires, can be made righteous and can be given peace and can be receive the gift of salvation and eternal life and aversion to the morality of this world that produces nothing but failure and death. That Jesus said, love your enemies. I had to wrestle with that this week. I had to ask myself, and I don't know that I've arrived there, church, so I'm not expecting. I want you to understand, I don't know that I've fully arrived there. It's one of those things that I know I'm to pray for. I know that. And I'm asking God to tenderize my heart. I'm asking God to help me to be able to see people through the eyes of Jesus and to love them with the heart of Jesus. I think a mother whose son gets caught up in ISIS or ISIL, I think she still loves that son, or a daughter for that matter, as I think of those Canadian mothers whose daughters left and haven't been heard from since. I'm asking God to help me to love these people. I'm asking God to help me to love them so much that I will begin to pray for them, not because I have to or because I must or because God's Word has told me to. You see, it would be easy for us today as children of God, it would be easy for us today as believers in Christ to just allow that little bitterness and hatred to begin to creep into our hearts because of all that we see that's happening and transpiring and taking place at their hands. We need to pray for the scales on their eyes because they cannot see. They were not raised in godly homes and godly cultures. We need to pray that they'll have dreams of Yeshua. Told you this story before, but some of you haven't heard it, so let me tell it again. You that have heard it, just listen. It won't hurt you to listen to it again. A little over a year ago, Janie got a phone call, and she came to my door, and she said that someone wants to speak to you, and they sound like they have a Muslim accent. I picked up the phone, and it was a man from California. It was a Muslim from California. Jim Slack, our missiologist at our International Mission Board, had said to us in a conference when I was working with the Lexington Baptist Association, Johnny, we need to pray that the Muslims will have dreams of Yeshua. I casually prayed. I must confess, I casually prayed. I thought, oh, yes, sure. Last Sunday night, I was in one of my Edisto churches, and they were dedicating their new children's building, and I was a part of that service. And Dr. Monty Hale, who preached one night for us in a revival early on when I first came here, was seated there by me, and he and I were talking, and I was telling him what I had started preaching on last Sunday. Didn't finish the message, but finish it this Sunday. He said, Johnny, you know you're supposed to pray that they'll have dreams of Yeshua. I said, Lord, why did you have to remind me? And then God so convicted me, he said that if every believer in America would pray for one Muslim to have a dream of Yeshua, because they are so spiritual. When I answered the phone and I began to talk with this gentleman all the way from California, I said, "How did you get my number?" He said, "I dreamed the name of the church and the number." Sure you did. I mean, I'm about as carnal as some. Well, let me hush. You know, sometimes I can be about as fleshly as anybody, okay? I'm being honest this morning. I'm being transparent for you for just a minute. Because you're just like I am. You deal with the same things I deal with every day. You walk where I walk. And I walk where you walk. And then I realized and I remembered what Dr. Jim Slack had said to us in that conference. And I said, "Sir, I said, what are you calling about?" He said, "I had a dream." And he began to tell me his dream. And as he told me his dream, I knew that he had dreamed of this spiritual person in his life. And so I began to share Jesus Christ with him. I do not know to this day. I must confess this morning, have I really prayed for him as much as I prayed for some of the other needs in our church family? Forgive me, Lord, probably not. That's about as honest as I can be today as your pastor. What I'm saying to us is, until we begin to take seriously what is facing us, and we begin to seize the opportunity, and we begin to pray about the spiritual needs of the Muslim people, nothing is going to change. So maybe we should take it as serious as we did praying for Colton. Hello? Hello? Maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we more concerned? Listen, are we more concerned about Pastor Johnny's hand or a Muslim going out into eternity without Christ? Thank you for your prayers. Keep them coming. God's working. I just told you that. But my point is, what is our priority? Where is our priority? Do we really believe that unless they come to Christ, they're going to spend eternity separated from Him throughout the ages and ages and ages of eternity? And some of you may be sitting here this morning and saying, "Well, they deserve it." Hello, you do too, and I do too. You see, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. But for the grace of God and the mercy of God, the Holy Spirit tugged at your heart. And next Sunday morning, I'll be preaching in a little Methodist church that's about to dry up and blow away because everybody's leaving the community. I'll be preaching homecoming in the church that I was christened in as a baby and sprinkled when I was a year old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They hadn't seen a Baptist yet. Y'all are used to him. Pray for me. Pray that the Holy Spirit will draw them to Jesus. Out of every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and every people, they all stood before the Lamb. The cross. Cross. What are you going to do with it? In a congregation this size and as many people that are present in this service this morning, statistics tell us that a minimum of 10% of you, statistics tell us a minimum of 10% of you are unsaved and without Christ. You may say, "Well, Pastor Johnny, I grew up in church." So did I. All my life. I knew all the Bible stories. I could tell them backwards and forwards for you. I had all the answers. I was in Bible drill when I was early on. Now, don't misunderstand me. God used all that to bring me to where I am today. And don't misunderstand me. A lot of the scriptures that I quote to you today, I promise you, I learned when I was lost. I want you to know that. Because I was in Bible school and because somebody took the time to teach me. Listen to me. Church and baptism do not guarantee salvation. The only thing that guarantees salvation is when you repent of your sins and you plead the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you and to cleanse you of all your sins, and you bow your heart and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come by the power of the Holy Spirit and to live within your heart and to give you a full and a meaningful life. And then you thank Him for doing that, because He will do that. It's my prayer this morning. It's the prayer of every believer present in this church this morning. It's the prayer of every minister of the gospel present in this church this morning, that nobody will walk out of this service without giving your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm not talking, listen to me, you can be raised in a garage, doesn't make you a mechanic. Raised in a barn, it sure won't make you a cow or a horse either. Being raised in church is wonderful. But it's about knowing and trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Think through that. Would you bow your heads with me, please? If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, I believe that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on Calvary's cross just for me. I believe that He shed His precious blood on Calvary's cross just for me. I believe that His blood will continually and completely cleanse me of my sins, and even the stain and the guilt of that sin. And so I invite you, Jesus, to come and to forgive me and to cleanse me of all of my sin and the guilt of that sin, to make me whole and to give me the gift of eternal life, to be my Lord, to be my Master, to take control of my life and to live through me so that I might live my life for you. Father, I pray that there were those that prayed that prayer. And I pray, Father, in the time of invitation, that they'll boldly get up out of that pew and they'll come down and they'll share that with me so that we can rejoice as a body of believers with them. Father, I pray for those in this church family who are searching for a church home and a church family. Father, I pray that today your Holy Spirit will so convict their hearts and that they'll know your will and your purpose and plan. And if it's at Dutch Fork, then God, pull them out of that pew by the power of the Holy Spirit and bring them down here to the front, to me. Father, I pray, God, for every person under the sound of my voice, from the youngest to the eldest. I pray, God, that whatever is going on in their life this morning, that you would touch and bring healing and wellness and wholeness to the broken hearts, to the troubled spirits, to the soul that is in anguish and in pain. God, I pray that they will understand and know that you are our great Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You are our Jehovah Shalom, our peace. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And you are our Jehovah Nissi. You walk before us because you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort us. Father, I pray today by the authority of your word that you will bring peace into the heart of every person present in this service. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen.